Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, "But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse, for the scriptures say, 'Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all these commands that are written in God's book of the law.' Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. Are you trying to be right with God by keeping the law? Join us today as we unpack this chapter in Galatians chapter 3. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is September 17th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28, 21 to 41. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. The skies above will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath will be as hard as iron. The Lord will change the rain that falls on your land into powder, and dust will pour down from the sky until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You'll be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your corpses will be food for all the scavenging birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, scurvy, and the itch, from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. You will build a house, but someone else will live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be butchered before your eyes, but you will not eat a single bite of the meat. Your donkey will be taken from you, never to be returned. Your sheep and goats will be given to your enemies, and no one will be there to help you. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. A foreign nation you have never heard about will eat the crops you worked so hard to grow. You will suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment. You will go mad because of all the tragedy you see around you. The Lord will cover your knees and legs with incurable boils. In fact, you will be covered from head to foot. The Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. You will become an object of horror, ridicule, and mockery among all the nations to which the Lord sends you. You will plant much, but harvest little, for locusts will eat your crops. You will plant vineyards and care for them, but you will not drink the wine or eat the grapes, for worms will destroy the vines. You will grow olive trees throughout your land, but you will never use the olive oil, for the fruit will drop before it ripens. You will have sons and daughters, but you will lose them, for they will be led away into captivity. Isaiah 25, 1 to 28, 13. O Lord, I, Isaiah, will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. You turn mighty cities into heaps of ruins, Cities with strong walls are turned to rubble. Beautiful palaces in distant lands disappear and will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong nations will declare your glory. Ruthless nations will revere you. But to the poor, O Lord, you are a refuge from the storm. To the needy in distress, you are a shelter from the rain and heat. For the oppressive acts of ruthless people are like a storm beating against a wall, or like the relentless heat of the desert. But you silence the roar of foreign nations. You cool the land with the shade of a cloud. So the boastful songs of ruthless people are stilled. In Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty will spread a wonderful feast for everyone around the world. It will be a delicious feast of good food with clear, well-aged wine and choice beef. In that day, he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. For the Lord's good hand will rest on Jerusalem. Moab will be crushed like trampled straw and left to rot. God will push down Moab's people as a swimmer pushes down water with his hands. He will end their pride and all their evil works. The high walls of Moab will be demolished and ground to dust." In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. "Our city is now strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He humbles the proud and brings the arrogant city to the dust. Its walls come crashing down. The poor and oppressed trample it underfoot. But for those who are righteous, the path is not steep and rough. You are a God of justice, and you smooth out the road ahead of them. Lord, we love to obey your laws. Our heart's desire is to glorify your name. All night long, I search for you. Earnestly, I seek for God. For only when you come to judge the earth will people turn from wickedness and do what is right. Your kindness to the wicked does not make them do good. They keep doing wrong and take no notice of the Lord's majesty. O Lord, they do not listen when you threaten. They do not see your upraised fist. Show them your eagerness to defend your people. Perhaps then they will be ashamed. Let your fire consume your enemies. Lord, you will grant us peace, for all we have accomplished is really from you. O Lord our God, others have ruled us, but we worship you alone. Those we served before are dead and gone. Never again will they return. You attacked them and destroyed them, and they are long forgotten. We praise you, Lord. You have made our nation great. You have extended our borders. Lord, in distress, we searched for you. We were bowed beneath the burden of your discipline. We were like a woman about to give birth, writhing and crying out in pain. When we are in your presence, Lord, we too writhe in agony, but nothing comes of our suffering. We have done nothing to rescue the world. No one has been born to populate the earth. Yet, we have this assurance. Those who belong to God will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise and sing for joy. For God's light of life will fall like dew on his people in the place of the dead. Go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide until the Lord's anger against your enemies has passed. Look, the Lord is coming from heaven to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will no longer hide those who have been murdered. They will be brought out for all to see. In that day, the Lord will take his terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling, writhing serpent, the dragon of the sea. In that day, we will sing of the pleasant vineyard. I, the Lord, will watch over it and tend its fruitful vines. Each day, I will water them. Day and night, I will watch to keep enemies away. My anger against Israel will be gone. If I find briars and thorns bothering her, I will burn them up. These enemies will be spared only if they surrender and beg for peace and protection. The time is coming when my people will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill the whole earth with her fruit. Has the Lord punished Israel in the same way he has punished her enemies? No, for he devastated her enemies, but he has punished Israel only a little. He has exiled her from her land as though blown away in a storm from the east. The Lord did this to purge away Israel's sin. When he had finished, all the pagan altars will be crushed to dust. There won't be an Asherah pole or incense altar left standing. Israel's fortified cities will be silent and empty, the houses abandoned, the streets covered with grass. Cattle will graze there, chewing on twigs and branches. The people are like the dead branches of a tree, broken off and used for kindling beneath the cooking pots. Israel is a foolish and stupid nation, for its people have turned away from God. Therefore, the one who made them will show them no pity or mercy. Yet, the time will come when the Lord will gather them together one by one like hand-picked grain. He will bring them to his great threshing floor from the Euphrates River in the east to the brook of Egypt in the west. In that day, the great trumpet will sound. Many who were dying in exile in Assyria and Egypt will return to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on his holy mountain. Destruction is certain for the city of Samaria, the pride and joy of the drunkards of Israel. It sits in a rich valley, but its glorious beauty will suddenly disappear. Destruction is certain for that city, the pride of a people brought low by wine. For the Lord will send the mighty Assyrian army against it. Like a mighty hailstorm and a torrential rain, they will burst upon it and dash it to the ground. The proud city of Samaria, the pride and joy of the drunkards of Israel, will be trampled beneath its enemies' feet. It sits in a fertile valley, but its glorious beauty will suddenly disappear. It will be greedily snatched up, as an early fig is hungrily picked and eaten. Then at last, the Lord Almighty will himself be Israel's crowning glory. He will be the pride and joy of the remnant of his people. He will give a longing for justice to their judges. He will give great courage to their warriors who stand at the gates. Now, however, Israel is being led by drunks. The priests and prophets reel and stagger from beer and wine. They make stupid mistakes as they carry out their responsibilities. Their tables are covered with vomit. Filth is everywhere. They say, "Who does the Lord think we are? Why does he speak to us like this? Are we little children, barely old enough to talk?" He tells us everything over and over again, a line at a time, in very simple words. Since they refuse to listen, God will speak to them through foreign oppressors who speak an unknown language. God's people could have rest in their own land if they would only obey him, but they will not listen. So the Lord will spell out his message for them again, repeating it over and over, a line at a time, in very simple words. Yet, they will stumble over this simple, straightforward message. They will be injured, trapped, and captured. Galatians 3:10-22. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse, for the scriptures say, "Cursed is everyone who does not obey and observe all these commands that are written in God's book of the law." Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, "It is through faith that a righteous person has life." How different from this way of life is the way of law, which says, if you wish to find life by obeying the law, you must obey all of its commands. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who's hung upon a tree." Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promise to Abraham and his child. And notice that it doesn't say the promise was to his children, as if it meant many descendants, but the promise was to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. This is what I am trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received only by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise, but God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Well then, why was the law given? It was given to show people how guilty they are. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child to whom God's promise was made. And there is further difference. God gave his laws to angels to give to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is needed if two people enter into an agreement. But God acted on his own when he made his promise to Abraham. Well then, is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could have given us new life, we could have been made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures have declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So the only way to receive God's promise is to believe in Jesus Christ. Psalm 61:1-8. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will cry to you for help, for my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. Add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. Appoint your unfailing love and faithfulness to watch over him. Then I will always sing praises to your name as I fulfill my vows day after day. Proverbs 23:17-18. Don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord, for surely you have a future ahead of you. Your hope will not be disappointed. I want to speak to you today from our reading in Galatians chapter 3, and it states some things very plainly and very clearly. beginning in verse 10, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all these commands that are written in God's book of the law. And in fact, in our reading today from Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read about all these different curses that would come upon the children of Israel if they did not obey the law of God. All kinds of curses are listed, about growing olive trees and you don't get to use the olive oil, about having sons and daughters, but they'll go away into captivity. You'll plant much and harvest little. You'll become an object of horror and ridicule and mockery. All these different curses because they did not obey the law. So Paul is making a very strong case that you cannot depend upon the law to make you right with God. And that if you do try to make yourself right with God by obeying the law, you come under his curse. Christ rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So then later on in the same chapter, Paul asks, well then, why was the law given? What is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is not to make us righteous with God, because we can't, trying to obey the law, we will fall short. What is the answer to that question? Paul answers, he says, it was given to show people how guilty they are. It's like looking in the mirror. When you read the word of God, you're looking in the mirror at yourself. And oh, by golly, I've got some dirt on my face. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child to whom God's promise was made. Now, I'd like to share with you a short chapter from the book, The Divine Romance, written by Jean Edwards. And it is chapter 43. It's very short. But this chapter is talking about what transpired at the moment that Jesus was crucified on the cross. What was accomplished? What was happening in the spiritual realm when he was dying on the cross? And it fits in with our reading today from Galatians. But before I read that chapter, there's another scripture I want to share, and this is from Colossians chapter 2. And I want to begin in verse 14. He, that is Christ, canceled the record of the charges brought against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. So, how would I know that I'm a sinner unless I read the Ten Commandments and realize, oh, thou shalt not covet, and I'm coveting. I want something that belongs to somebody else, and it's not mine, and I'm jealous, and I want what they have, and that's coveting, and thou shalt not covet. I wouldn't know that that's a sin, except that the Ten Commandments tells me that that is a sin. And so that's a charge brought against me. This is what makes me unholy. It makes me impure, unclean, a sinner, that I've sinned. And so it's a record of charges, my sin, the record of charges against me. He canceled it and took it away by nailing those charges, my sin, to the cross. Verse 15, in this way, he, that is Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. So this is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Now, I want to read this chapter because it really captures the essence and the heart of what we just read in Galatians chapter 3 today. Once more, a nail was pressed deep into the other wrist. Once more the soldier drew his arm in a mighty upward swing, and once more the Lord froze time and eternity in their journey. At that very instant, one of the angels arrived at the base of Mount Sinai and began to sort furiously through the stones and rocks. He paused. There they lay, smashed, long forgotten, the stone tablets of the commandments and the law of Moses. Quickly, the angel clutched them to his bosom, turned and darted again for Jerusalem's holy temple. Arriving at the temple courtyard, this same angel went straight into the Holy of Holies. Terrified yet obedient, he lifted the mercy seat, reached inside the box of hammered gold, and brought forth the sacred copy of the law. He then gathered that from within the temple every rule, every regulation, every ordinance that had ever been penned, proclaimed, or dreamed of. All law, all legalism, all bondage. The angel was about to depart when he heard again the Lord's voice within him. Turning, he called forth all ritual of all worship. Once more, he would have departed, but turned again at the prodding of his glowing spirit. He now called forth all observance of all holy days. Finally, he called forth even the Sabbath. You are but pictures of my Lord. Today, pictures, types, and shadows of my Lord. End. At last, he left the temple, only to be stopped again. He breathed hard, turned, and called forth even the temple. You too, for even you are but a picture of my Lord. Today, the picture ends. Now he rose high above the earth, and in a voice that reached all ends of times, he commanded every rule, regulation, ritual, decree, and ordinance that had ever been observed by any religion ever practiced upon the face of the earth to come forth. Once more, the burdened angel plunged downward through the skies into time. He arrived just in time to lay his profound burden into the bosom of his Lord. He stepped back. All this ends today. The hammer smashed against the nail, and with it, all law, all rules, all ordinances, all holy days, and all ritual were crucified upon the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so I come back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read it now in the New King James Version. It's slightly different than the New Living Translation, that Jesus, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so, just trying to follow rituals and rules and regulations and routines, that does not save us. That is not what it is to walk by faith and to have a true heart relationship with Jesus. He calls us to an intimate love relationship with him. So break out of the routine, break out of the rote, break out of the religious ritual and press in to have true heart relationship with Jesus. Spend time with him. Listen to him. Listen to his whispers. Take time to get away and to be alone with the lover of your soul. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yivarekha Adonai Vishmarekha Yayeh Adonai Panavilakha Vikunneha. Adonai, Panav Hilecha, Vayasein Lecha, Lecha, Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.